It's been 25 years since the world met Rachel, Ross, Chandler, Joey, Monica, and Phoebe. The TV show Friends ran for 10 seasons, pulling in somewhere between 25 and 30 million viewers every week, and its popularity hasn't slowed down since. Thanks to streaming platforms like Netflix, there's now a whole new generation of Friends fans. And we asked you to weigh in on the show 25 years later.
Hi, this is Nicole from Tampa, Florida. I love Friends. I still watch it, and I'm 47 years old. I've also got my 18-year-old daughter to watch it, and she loves it too. Plus, she says all of her friends are addicted to it as well. I love it even though all the Friends characters look perfect, they're all hilariously flawed.
Hi, I'm Theo Louis from New York City. I was never, ever drawn to the TV sitcom Friends. As a gay Latino from the Bronx, it didn't speak to me. Now, ironically, I live one block in the West Village from the building that was used simply as the facade for the show, as thousands of annoying tourists appeared daily from throughout the globe, posing for photographs outside the edifice.
As one of our listeners told us there, while Friends has continued to gain new fans decades later, it's also come under renewed scrutiny for depicting a very privileged and very white version of New York City. Joining me now to discuss the legacy of Friends is Sachi Cole, senior culture writer at BuzzFeed, and Willa Paskin, Slate's television critic and host of the Decoder Ring podcast. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Willa, let's start with you. We're living in an age where we have tons of television shows at our disposal. A lot of folks who weren't even born when the show was on are binging on Friends right now on Netflix. Why does it have so much mass appeal among younger generations? I mean, and I will add, I thought no one cared about Gen X, so why do they care now?
I mean, the thing is that's interesting about Friends is that for all the TV that there is, what there sort of isn't are sitcoms in the classic sense, like a show where you don't have to follow a huge long story arc. Every episode is very cozy and very similar. And all of those shows, there's a bunch of them, but The Office and Friends are sort of two of the prime examples, have been hugely successful in streaming services because no one's actually watching network television and the places that are still making that kind of sitcom. The thing about Friends is, right, like every episode you turn it on, the six of them are there doing something, you know, funny and cute and whatever, and it's very it's very comforting, and it's that comfort has obviously translated even to younger people, who I think there's also sort of additional comforts, which is that, you know, it's like a world in which there's no internet. You know, you drop by and you see your pals, like there's a sort of nostalgia to it. So it's not like super old, it's not like in black and white or something, but it isn't exactly right now.
Sachi, looking back, there were lots of questionable and cringeworthy moments on Friends. For you, you don't think the show's aged well. Why not?
No, I mean, it's a show about New York where everybody appears to be white. It's a show that makes fun of gay people and fat people as if they have no other characteristics. It's a show that makes fun of somebody's possibly drag queen mother, but is clearly a transgender woman. Like, that's not really clear. I mean, nothing about the show has really aged that well for a current audience. But I think the thing that has aged worse is that it is not funny. It is deeply, chaotically unfunny.
We want to get into some of the criticism, especially about the homophobia, in a minute. Willa, you're laughing there. You think it's funny?
No, I mean, it's just the six of those cast members are like, that's like a killer cast. They're very good at their job. The thing that made me laugh is, like, people have been fighting about whether or not Friends was funny. Like, when Friends was on the air, all the Seinfeld stands were like, this is garbage, remedial, basic sitcomery. How dare anyone, like, say this is very good? And it's like, some people, you know, funny is personal. I think there's millions and millions of people who find Friends to be very funny. I would also just say that while it's absolutely true that it's obscenely white and they're very privileged and nothing about that is particular to Friends and, like, all its cohort of shows were equally retrograde. And I think the sum of the stuff, certainly about the fat suit things, like Monica's history as an obese woman, and sort of the gay jokes about Chandler and Joey's relationship, and sort of about Ross's ex-wife being a lesbian, those things actually I think are much more complicated. Like, Joey and Chandler's relationship is this deep and huge loving relationship, and though, like, their breakup is, like, when they, you know, their breakup is treated as sort of in one episode as kind of a romance. And, like, that's a joke, but it's also not a joke. And I think that the portrayal of Ross's ex-wife was actually pretty, like, straightforward and matter-of-fact and respectful. Like, it's not really a punchline, just, like, a thing about their lives.
Which as somebody watching it in the 90s, I'm outing myself here again, I thought that was a pretty, you know, to be co-parenting with your lesbian ex-wife who's in a lesbian relationship at the time in the 90s, that was considered pretty progressive.
Yeah, and they're definitely not bad parents.
They're not. But what I want to bring up, Sachi, to your point here is that can't we say, like, is this a little finger wagging in the rearview mirror? Like, can't we say, you know, that a lot of these shows, I mean, it was the 90s, right? It's not 2019. In 20 years, are we probably going to do the same thing about a lot of shows that are on now, right? Like, all these shows are problematic and So, like, how do we, you know, how do we really gauge these? Because I know in some of the in your piece, you kind of compared these to, like, Seinfeld, which was hugely problematic, particularly for Puerto Rican communities in particular. But it was also hilarious, right? Yeah. Like, can we hold those two things in?
I think people are more than entitled to watch something that is bad. There's no skin off my back. You can watch a bad show all you want. I'm not going to lose any sleep. Enjoy being wrong. But I think you can hold two things in your hands at once that maybe you watch it and you enjoy it, but you know that it's like not great. Like, yeah, it's aged poorly. But also, I don't understand this excuse of like, Liz, come on, it was the 90s. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm pretty sure it was always bad to make fun of fat people. Whether or not a network was going to be held responsible for that is a separate question. Right. But yeah, you can feel two things at once. I don't begrudge anybody for wanting to watch something comforting and soothing. But for me, when I watch it, it's uncomfortable and unbearable. And I do think that the greatest problem with the show is that it isn't funny.
Mm. Well, I do want to bring up one thing. The show did have a big influence on haircuts. The Rachel, I had what I called a modified Rachel back in the day. Willa, has that success in terms of the look been replicated since in other shows? And I want to pose the same thing to you, Sachi, because I feel like I'm starting to see this revival of 90s fashion, and I'm wondering if Friends has anything to do with that.
I mean, some of that is like, it's a little chicken and the egg with like the total disintegration of the TV audience. So like Big Bang Theory is a big audience thing, but it was sort of one of the very last really successful sitcoms with like 20 million audience,
Big Bang Theory is also one that like we're forced to watch, I feel like, because it's on every channel all at the same time.
And in 20 years, our children's children will be asking us, what was wrong with you? That is the thing to keep in mind about that show.
About the Big Bang Theory? No one is going to be watching the Big Bang Theory like they're watching Friends.
I don't believe you. This is a dark world, Willa.
No, it's not. The thing about Friends that also is different is like this cross-gender thing. Like, I think the fact of Friends being about like young, romantic, nice-looking people of different genders like does actually set it apart. I think it sort of scratches the rom-com itch in addition to sort of the sitcom itch. And it is amazing, if you think about it, that Friends is this popular. It's like a really wild and crazy thing. But I actually don't think it's because it's bad. Like, things that are really bad don't actually last this long.
Well, Sachi, what about you? I mean, I'm thinking part of, you know, we were saying it was the 90s. And I think what I meant by that is that there were less offerings, in terms of what you were consuming. And there is a sort of a lightness to the show that I think.
Yeah, that's probably very comforting. I don't think it's a mistake that a much younger generation that has grown up in an incredibly fraught time where everything hurts is connecting to a show that is kind of easy and you can watch any episode in a vacuum and everything sort of returns to some sort of status quo. And I also don't think it's a mistake that stylistically it looks like how all these kids are dressing. Everyone's wearing high-waisted jeans and teeny tiny sweaters. Like, I don't think these things are accidents, so that's fine. I think everyone's entitled to watch garbage.
Sachi Cole, senior culture writer at BuzzFeed, and Willa Paskin, Slate's TV critic. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.